Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm Paul Jobe, and this is Drop Shot.
Hello, and welcome to Drop Shot. This series concentrates on my journey across the pre-Wimbledon tennis tournaments as I discover the wonders they contain. Along with my partner, Gary Hayes, we'll document our summer travels and capture the essence of the grass court season as told by the players themselves. Also, under Gary's tutelage, we're going to see if I have what it takes to be a sports journalist, and in return, I'll endeavour to help him become a better person and possibly show him a few things about documentary making, which is my background. And you, dear listener, are coming with us on our adventure. First stop is Surbiton Racquet and Fitness Club, which hosts the Surbiton Trophy. This is a low-key tournament coinciding with the end of the French Open. But often, players who have gone out early there may make an appearance here to get their grass court shoes on. This is a beautiful little venue and a real marking point of summer. There have been a couple of smaller events before this one, but Surbiton really kicks things off for the summer swing. Why is it called a swing? I've never been able to fathom that one. Maybe on my travels, someone will tell me. Just made my way into the venue. Picked up my pass, which was waiting for me and means I exist in the tennis world, and this is always a good sign. I always worry I'm going to have that moment when you're told that you're not on the list, and I've had it happen plenty of times already, and then you have to rely on the gift of the gab to get things sorted, which I always do, I hasten to add, but I'm always anxious until that pass is hanging round my neck. Anyway, I am official and I am officially here. I've introduced myself to media manager Emily Bevan, who I met here last year when I was writing about the wonder of pre-Wimbledon tournaments for Ace magazine. And I've just claimed a spot in the glamorous press room, also known as a porter cabin. It was hot and stuffy in there, so I went through the order of play as quickly as possible and put in my requests for interviews. The women start tomorrow, so the pick for me from the men's matches today would be two young Brits. One is Paul Jubb, who's studying in America. He's relatively unknown over here, but has just won the NCAA's American College Singles title. I think there'll be interest in him this summer, especially if he performs well. And the other person I'd like us to speak to is another young talent, Jay Clark, who I met last year at Eastbourne. It would be good to see how he's developing. For now, all I have to do is wait for Godot. I mean Gary. Gary Godot, never knowingly on time. He's like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. Unlike the white rabbit, Gary's never worried about being late. We agreed to meet at 11. It's 12:30 now, so I guess I'll see him at 2. Never mind. Right, time for a wander through this beautiful venue. I'm excited to be getting Drop Shot underway again. It's going to be a fantastic grass court summer.
Do you know where press go?
Press
access, where I'll go to get my pass.
Accreditation?
Yeah, accreditation, yeah. All right, cheers. All right, cool, thank you. So I'm under media, Gary Hayes with Drop Shot.
Okay.
Go
on to Emily.
Or you can just let me have Alex Demonauer or Leighton Hewitt's pass.
Yeah.
So is this the... Where is the press room?
Just there. There's a cabin.
Oh, right. Okay. What, behind where
Yeah.
the guy in the black is?
Just around the corner there.
Okay.
Sorry, what was your name again?
There you go, yeah, I am.
That's it,
yeah. Well, I used last year's picture as well. I look a bit younger. So are these lollies for everyone's consumption, are they?
Yep, anyone's.
I had my eye on that the moment I came in.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right, thanks so much. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello.
Well, all right, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Got a lolly straight away.
You miss out on the freebies.
Yeah, well, I saw them. I was like, oh, can we have one of them? Straight away, so. Yeah. The first time I've been here. Seems very, yeah.
It's quite low key. It's a nice little club, though. Nice,
yeah, I'll say it's good. It feels like properly at the root of it all.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah, so we're in there.
Oh, that cabin there,
yeah,
okay.
There's not much room, so just squash in.
Is there a lot of media here? Is there?
Yeah. And like cameras and things, you know, the photographers have so much stuff.
Yeah.
We've got, because, you know, Paul Jubb.
Yeah, is that why they're all here?
Quite a lot for him, yeah.
I just saw Jay walk past, that's who we're here to see.
Oh, yeah.
He just got knocked out.
Is he lost?
Yeah. I think so.
I thought they'd gone to a third set.
Oh, one set all. I'm like, oh, maybe he's just gone toilet then.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kerry's acquainted himself with you again.
Yeah, so he's told me a couple of people that you want. If you want anyone, just let me know, because then I can facilitate it. He said about Jay, and he said about Paul Jubb. But is there anyone else you wanted?
Whoever he said.
But,
yeah, I've been recording another podcast this morning, so I'd let Kerry run it.
Right. I think Paul is only going to do an all-in post-match thing.
Okay.
So I know that there's a lot of requests for him.
He's sort of come out of nowhere, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think he's a bit overwhelmed by it. It's a bit like, oh my goodness.
You need to send him to the safe media like us. Well, I want to give Kerry a shout and then I'll leave you to it.
Okay, well, just let me know if you need
anything. Yeah, nice one.
All right. Have some lunch.
Where do they do food here?
There's
I'm assuming there's no media food, right?
No.
That's all right, but there's food over there.
But yeah, there's Kerry.
That's all right. I can give him a call.
Yeah, there's a marquee straight down.
Has he got a photographer's bib on?
Yeah.
I tell him every time, just come and work. Why have you got to be a photographer? No, I must be a photographer. Right, I'm going to call him and pretend I haven't seen him.
Right, okay.
Right, see ya.
See
you in a bit. Kel?
Hello, mate.
I just saw Jay walk past me. That's not the end of the game, is it?
No.
He's gone for a toilet?
Yes.
Have you got a photographer's bib on by any chance?
Yes, I have.
I just saw you tart walking into the port cabin, so I'm going to come over and see you.
Good man.
All right then.
See you in a sec.
Au revoir.
15 mark.
Hello, Kerry. I'm here now.
Yeah, you're here. What time is this? You said you'd meet me about 11 when everything started, and it's nearly 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I've been recording another series of another podcast.
I don't care
sorry.
About another series. There is only one series, and that's Drop Shot.
But as I get here, it starts to rain.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You are the bringer of doom. Mm.
It's like the prophetic fallacy in Frankenstein. When the monster appears, it's raining. Like me, I'm the monster.
Fallacy.
Frankenstein's creation. Actually, no, you're Frankenstein's creation, because I'm Frankenstein. I created you.
No, you're Frankenstein.
Right,
I actually watched that the other night. Well, interestingly, you were saying, oh yeah, I'll get there in time to watch Jay. Well, I got here literally 1 minute before he goes on court, and he lost the first set and then got broken and was down in the second set and looked all over, and they came back and then won a tie break. So it's one set all. So somehow you're still on course to be all right for today.
I know. What a perfect setting for the first episode of Drop Shot 2.
Drop Shot 2. That's quite musical.
Sorry, I just got to remove this lolly. So I bumped into Emily as we came in, and she told me you've been busy on her already, getting requests in, which I'm impressed with. First rule of any event, you come here, first thing you do, you put your request in straight away, Kerry.
Well, that's what I've learned from, I hate to say, the master, but that was a bloke I met. He was very good.
What, Mr. Master?
Mr. Master.
So who are we trying to get today?
We're gonna,
outside of what we're doing with Jay.
We are going to try and get Paul Jubb, who's this 19-year-old British kid, who's had a bit of a tough time, actually. Was taken in by his grandmother when he was 4 years of age and she supported him through thick and thin on Social Security. He became a tennis player, became very good. And then somebody came over from America who'd heard about him. And next thing you know, he went off to the States and has just won the singles, college singles title in America, which has been won by people like McEnroe and Connors in the past. And there's real hope that this young guy is going to be the real deal.
Similar story to Cam Norrie as well, isn't it? Coming through the college system in the US.
Yeah, and again, it's quite interesting to see somebody else from Britain having to move abroad to try and get some success. And interestingly, you know, now he's back here, he's got a wild card into Surbiton, and there's talk that just maybe he might even get a wild card into Wimbledon.
So as you can hear, I'm trying to eat my lolly, so we'll walk around and I'll finish this and then we'll catch up.
What a jolly good idea. We wait in line behind a couple of other journalists to get our first interview of the summer, and that's going to be with Jay Clark.
30 left.
Hiya, how are you?
You guys ready for Jay?
Yeah. I remember talking to you at Eastbourne and last year, and you said quite often you get quite upset about losing the game straight after, and it takes you a while to get adjusted to it and then deal with, right, well, now let's get on with tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the same. If you ask anyone that loses, I'm pretty sure they'll be down after it. Like I say, these are really nice tournaments to play. And yeah, but they're tough events. So going out first round, going out quarters, I think everyone's the same level. So it's just on the day. Yeah.
And with these sort of tournaments, actually, they're really quite hard to get a place in them, aren't they? I don't think people understand just how competitive it is to try and get into these fields.
Yeah, exactly. I think with my ranking at most challenges, I'd be one of the top four seeds. But here I'm not even seeded. Obviously, the grass is quite a short season and there's actually a lot of very good players on it. So they try and maximise the time on grass and the tournaments because they play well in it. And yeah, obviously, I'm British, so I'll try and play as much as possible as well.
So what are your grass courts targets for this season? Do you have targets or do you just see how things develop?
Yeah, there's no like specific thing I'll try and set for the grass court season. There's like yearly goals, but for me it's the same as the clay season, as the hard court season in the States at the start of the year. Just try and do your best, win as many matches as possible, and yeah, keep trying to improve.
And where do you go for the rest of the week? What do you do? Do you just carry on with training? Do you work here? What's your plan for the week?
I don't know yet. Depends where the coaches say to go.
Okay, so that's down to a conversation with the coach coming up.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of good players here to practice with, but there's not many courts. Obviously, there's men's and women's event here, so you won't get much practice time. So maybe stay at NTC, maybe go back where I live and train at Nottingham, prep for next week. I'm not sure yet.
And who is your coach?
My brother.
Ah, does that make it easier or more complicated at times?
A lot easier for me, yeah. We've never had a problem. Like I say, he always wants the best for me, and yeah, you can tell everything he says is genuine, and what he thinks best, and you know, he knows me better than anyone else, so he knows like how I think, you know, what I feel's right at the moment to do, and yeah, it doesn't take that long for us to, you know, forget about tennis when the match is done.
One more question, because I need your voice on there. Just ask about last week. You were at Rolls Royce, was it Rolls Royce?
Yeah, Rolls Royce.
Ask about the training, because Rolls Royce let you use one of their grass courts, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just ask about that prep.
And I hear you've been quite a high flyer. You've been off with Rolls Royce. What was happening there?
Yeah, Rolls Royce is a Derby company, and they have six grass courts there for the workers, I think, that work there. And every year in preparation for Surbiton, I always stay home and practice there. And yeah, they've always been really helpful, even, you know, when it was just the county close tournaments, they let me get on the court soon when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old. And yeah, they've always been there, so it's really nice.
Well, I think your silver shadow's just turned up for you now, so I'll let your car take you away. Thanks so much, Jay.
Cheers, thanks.
I head off to watch new kid on the block, Paul Jubb, play against James Ward.
Final set, Ward to serve.
While Gary went off and made all his important media phone calls, I've just watched James Ward beat Paul Jubb, but I was impressed by the youngster. He looks as though he's going to be a proper player. Meanwhile, we, that's me and Gary, catch up with James Ward and see what he made of the match.
What did you have for breakfast today?
Full English.
Good, a man who doesn't...
Breakfast of champions.
Yeah, exactly.
A man who doesn't hold back, that's what we like. So how was that for you today?
It was a good match. I thought we both played a good level. It was tough throughout, you know. I thought, as I say, we both served well, didn't give each other too many opportunities, and had to create something. And in the end, it comes down to a couple of points. It could have gone either way.
And did you know much about him before you played him today? And it was kind of surprising he suddenly appears with people talking about him and you get him in the draw.
Yeah, I literally never seen him before, so it's normal if he's been over in the States a lot on college tennis. I don't really follow it. But he, as you can see, he plays well. He's played a lot of matches. He competes well, so it's a difficult one. But yeah, it was a good level match.
And it seems to be the kind of match that really got you going and gets your season off to a flying start.
Let's hope so. As I say, it's different on the grass. It always comes down to a few points, whoever serves better and generally makes returns and makes balls. And on these courts, anything can happen. There's a lot of bad bounces everywhere, and it's just dealing with that and staying focused throughout the whole match.
Surbiton seems to be one of those places where it's a very intimate setting, and it seems to be really quite nice for all the players. You all seem to wander around, go and watch each other's matches. It's more like a social tennis event here.
Well, that was obviously popcorn stuff because it was two British guys, one unheard of, and playing me, so all the pressure's on me. He's got nothing to lose, and people want to see what happens. So I think that's why the other players were around and coaches, everyone seemed to be there. But yeah, it's actually quite spread out, that court. You don't feel that close to the fans because it's quite wide around it. There's a lot of run back. But yes, always it's nice to play at home and a nice to play a tournament where you can actually stay in your own bed.
For the players ranked below 100, are these really important tournaments for you, for your rankings, for your play?
But it's important for the guys top 100 as well. Everyone wants to play well every week. Each time you're competing, there's always a good chance, especially bigger tournaments where there's a lot of points on offer, to try and boost your ranking up. It's any time of the year is good to get points.
Just going back to your game, when you're facing a player who's unknown, you've never seen him play, what are the challenges that come with that? Because in this day and age, you've got video guys that can tell you how he likes to serve, where he likes to put the first serve, where he put a second serve, what he's like on the baseline, how often does he come to the net. When you're playing an unknown, are you just working him out during the game, or are you just thinking, I've got to put faith in my own game to win?
Yeah, but again, that's a luxury that I don't have either. You have to have access to people like that, and that's not something I've got. So I don't have anyone. I have to work it out myself and do my own research and ask around, and also work it out on the court, because what he does against me might be completely different to what he does against someone else. Different game styles match up differently. And yeah, as I say, I'm just glad I managed to work it out today.
So when you're doing your own research, what are you doing as a player there then? Because like you say, you might not have that support team.
Asking around, whoever it may be, whoever's seen him play, which again is not many. And then it's tough. You can't ask other British coaches because they're not going to help you, because no one wants to be favourite to anyone. So it's literally working it out on the court today. And that's it. I haven't seen him hit a ball before. So as I say, just glad I got through that one.
And a non-tennis question. Yep. You're an Arsenal fan.
Disaster.
We're both Chelsea.
Oh, God. Right, I'm ending it there.
That's funny. I think he took it in good spirits, right?
Yeah, he did. But yeah, at least you did it at the very end. It's always.
I know, I thought if he wants to walk off, we'll get this question in before he walks off. So for the record, it's because Chelsea
annihilated Arsenal 4-1 in the Europa League last week.
It's absolutely true. We did. Oh, well. Anyway, it's good talking to him.
Right, let's go.
Okay.
Sorry for jumping in on that interview there, but normally, for people that listen to Drop Shot Series 1, they'll know that when interviews are happening, I'm normally giving you notes when I've got a question that I want you to ask or whatever. But there, I couldn't do it because we stood in the thoroughfare. Because we stood in the thoroughfare of where the players are coming out, fans are walking around. Not that it's exceptionally busy, but I couldn't hold the recorder and give you messages on my phone. Say, ask him this.
To be fair, you're not very good at multitasking.
I think that's the conclusion there. But then, so that's why I jumped in and had to ask him those questions.
Because actually, that interview was just about to finish, but you coming in, it makes it feel like another interviewer. So we then got a bit of life, and then you hit him with the old Chelsea 4-1, basically.
You've got to do it, right?
Yeah, you have.
Strictly unprofessional.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure we'll get another interview with him this week.
Or ever. We're observing Jarb's being interviewed. What we've just seen is newspaper journalists being told that they've got to go second because the TV needs to go out at 6:30. And the little shutter you can hear there is Kerry being paparazzi, taking pictures. And now the newspapers move in, Kerry, ahead of us. We are the best, say till last.
Exactly. That's it, you know. Should be swine before pearls, shouldn't it, really?
Swine before flu.
Chickens before
eggs.
This is going well.
Hi, mate. How you doing? I'm Gary.
How you doing?
We're from Drop Shot Podcast.
I'm Kerry.
Can I just get you to speak into the mic, just so the sound test?
Hello. Hello.
What football team do you support?
Liverpool.
Right, there we go. That's not good.
From Hull to South Carolina to Surbiton, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it's been crazy. You know, some of the places I've been able to go and the jumps I've been able to make throughout my tennis career so far. And yeah, it's just crazy to think, come from Hull and just a normal kid and, you know, now on to, you know, hopefully big things. It's, you know, it's definitely something. It's hard to take in.
And has it been a huge cultural shock going from Hull to America? How have you adjusted? How do you view American life?
You know, I like it over there. And it's, you know, I said as soon as I got over there, it's, you know, I was comfortable within the first week and, you know, I didn't find it a massive change, really. So, you know, it's been fine. There's been nothing, you know, tough to live with or anything. So, yeah, I love it.
And how familiar are you with the English game? And are you familiar with all the British players? Do you mix with them? Do you know them well?
Obviously throughout the juniors and stuff. But now, you know, I'm mixing with them a lot more since I've been back and down at the NTC training and stuff. But, I know most of the people and stuff. But, you know, maybe not so much on a personal level as much now, but, you know, I've started training with the top guys and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Have you spoken to Cam Norrie a lot? Because you're going through the same route he did. He went to TCU and you're there now doing what he did a few years ago.
We haven't actually had chance to, you know, speak in detail yet, but, you know, we haven't seen each other, but I'm sure there'll be some point in the near future that, you know, we'll be able to actually have a talk and, you know, I'm interested to, you know, get some tips off him and, you know, learn about, you know, how he's made that transition, because obviously we've done the exact same route and he's, you know, done it to perfection really from leaving college. So yeah, it'll be good to sit down and talk with him.
So your university, South Carolina, right? That's not a South Carolina cap, is it?
Yes,
it is. Yes. See, we've seen people going around with their TCU jackets as well, so we're wondering if there's any college rivalry and whether you're going to get your your boys on today's boys?
We don't actually, because they're not in the same conference as us, so we never play them unless it's in the national tournament or anything. But yeah, we haven't played them in, you know, I can't remember the last time we did. So, Alistair Gray, who goes there, who just played earlier today, I'm good friends with him, and he goes to TCU. So yeah.
So down at NTC, we need to see a TCU and South Carolina face off with you and Cam, right?
Maybe.
Nice one. Cheers, mate. Appreciate that.
Thanks, John.
One quick photo.
Having chatted with Paul Jubb, we ask his coach, Johnny Carmichael, if we could talk with him. Coaches are different to players, and we don't have to go through the media manager to ask for an interview. He says yes.
Yeah, he talks well. He talks well.
Better than I do. Just get more of him talking, none of me.
Go on, Kerry, you've got loads of questions prepared.
So, Johnny, you're Paul's coach. How long has that been going on for?
A lifetime, yeah. So met Paul when he was 5 or 6. Haven't got rid of him yet.
So how does that work? When he's over in America, are you over there as well? Are you part of the coaching, or is it...
No. So when he's off in America, he's just off with his college coaches, Josh and Kyle. And I'm at the other end of the phone, or, you know, if he ever comes back over and he competes, then I'll come and watch. But yeah, it's a long distance relationship at the minute.
So I suppose you've been there since the very beginning, really. Was it a surprise to you when he ended up at South Carolina? And how did you feel about it, and what actually happened?
Oh, no, it was definitely the right move, because, you know, based where we were in Hull, it was like very difficult to find people for him to spar with, you know, to play with, beating all the coaches. So he needed that kind of pool of players to train with, needed that environment where, you know, because of the scholarship he went on, he was had everything provided. You know, you go on the road every weekend and you play really high level matches, and just that combination of the coaching, the facilities, and the match player, that's what's helped him to develop.
Just to jump in, it's interesting you say that he didn't have that pool of players to play against. Do you think that's something that maybe British players have to go abroad because they don't have enough talent to play against?
Oh, no. I mean, you've got to remember, this is when he was, so 17, he's already won national junior title. He's already won a junior ITF competition out in Doha. And that's just playing with us, lad. That's just me with a basket of balls down the other end telling him to work hard. You know, you don't actually need somebody better than you. Who does Djokovic hit against? He doesn't hit against somebody better than him, does he? It's like he actually had to focus on what he was trying to improve. And when he did that day in, day out, and you know, he would be playing half a court against somebody who he could beat easily. So instead of beating him easily, he worked on his game. He'd hit more slice, he'd come into the net. And, you know, and that's the thing with him, he's never done anything the easy way. You know, I'd rather he did everything the hard way, because that's why how you learn, and that's where he's got to where he is.
And for a player so young, what are the challenges they're facing when they're coming through? Because it's going to be very different for him now as opposed to when he's 25, 26 and established.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at him now, he looks like a teenager, doesn't he? He's still quite scrawny, he's got terrible facial hair. You know, you've got to think in a few years' time when he's actually filled out a bit and he's a big boy, then it should be even easier. I mean, for me at the minute, it's making sure that he now, over the next 6 months, he actually has a decent programme set up. Like, I don't know where he's going to be based or, you know, who his team are going to be around him, but he needs to get all that sorted, and then he needs to get a good tournament schedule. And, you know, the LTA have been good so far with helping us out with, you know, obviously the wild card in here and stuff. Let's just hope when it gets into the hardcourt season that we get, well, I don't know where he's going to go, you know.
And you talk about his frame. How do you, as a coach, how do you look at it and think that we need to get him to beef up a bit, but he can't lose that athleticism either? What's the approach to that?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person there. I don't know. Eat a load of burgers and then go for a run? Or,
I tried that, but it all went on my gut.
Well, okay. No, double patties. Just a single patty and then go for a jog around the block. But I don't know about the jogging.
I missed out.
Jubby's one of those players which, like, he just eats like an absolute pig anyway and, like, doesn't seem to put any weight on. But hopefully that'll come. You know, you don't want to be too beefy because, like you say, he's quick around the court, he's good out the corners and stuff like that, and that's because he's such a little whippet. So it's just find that balance, isn't it?
It reminded me watching him just now on court. It was the first time I'd seen him, but it reminded me a bit of Demon Howard, the way that he's so quick around court, and he's not a big guy, slight of frame, but he uses that to his advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, ever since he started to try and play more aggressively from being about 12 or 13, he's always been little for his age anyway. He was playing kids older than him. He just had that natural timing, which then helped him get a bit of power, use his legs better and stuff like that. But, you know, if he just makes some improvements, you know, 5, 10%, then hopefully that'll just make him be able to do what he's doing, but more often, and that's the key.
I was going to just take you back to the moment that Josh Gotti came over, didn't he? That's how...
Yeah.
And
about
how
this time, a few years ago, yeah.
And was that a surprise to you? Was it something you'd been working on? Did it come out of the blue? And what was it like, that moment, when this guy from South Carolina turns up and goes, you're the boy for me?
Yeah, so I think James Trotman had set that up for us because he knew Josh. Also, we've got a guy from just outside of Hull, Ben Atkinson, who went to South Carolina and had already messaged Josh saying, oh, you should look at this kid. He's from near me, I know him, and, you know, come have a look. So I went and picked Josh up from the train station, having, you know, just kind of happened accidentally because he was round here for Junior Wimbledon. Just came and watched him play and had a chat to him, and I don't know. To be honest, we didn't have any other option. No one else was offering a scholarship, so it was like, well, you haven't even visited, but let's just say yes and see what happens. It's better than you staying in Hull for the next 2 years. So let's just get rid and see. Just kind of land on your feet, hopefully.
How has he taken to... Obviously, we've just spoken to him. He's saying he's enjoying America. What have you spotted about, you know, his maturity since he's been there, and you've seen him, and then he comes back, and obviously you might have spoken to him or, you know, Skyped him or whatever, but in the time that he's away, you'll see a big change, right? Especially for a kid that's growing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest change in him, obviously made some technical changes and he's a lot stronger, but the biggest changes are his mentality. You know, he's just taken on those strengths that he had because he's always been... No, not always, that's a lie. He's pretty tough mentally. But, you know, like today's match, it was a real up-and-down affair and it was close and it was tight at points. You know, he's just getting through those moments. He manages the matches better where when it's close, he doesn't get too nervous. Yeah. And that's the big difference now. They've just given him that confidence to, when it's tough, when it's close, he can battle through it.
Do you think he was like today? It was interesting what you're saying, that it was very nip and tuck. It was backwards and forwards. They both took turns of getting in the ascendancy. Does he get disappointed, do you think? I mean, and this is his first appearance at a tournament like this. Do you think he was disappointed that he didn't win, didn't do more? Or does he just go, yeah, fine, that was the day, let's get on with tomorrow?
I think he'll definitely be disappointed, yeah. Because actually, he knows he's that level. You know, he knew that going into the match anyway. Even our talk before he went on the court, it was like, he wasn't nervous about having to play somebody who's been top 100. He was just wanted to do his best, which is kind of always his bag. It's like, you know, he just wants to make a good show of himself. He's just desperate to do his best. So I think just going forward, he's not going to be nervous of having to face anybody that's, you know, a high-ranked player. He just wants to go and show everybody what he can do. And, you know, really, to be fair, I'd give him an 8 out of 10 today, Jubby. Maybe even 7.5. I'll be meaner. 7.5. You know, There's more still to come.
So it's your job to be slightly mean, though, isn't it? So you've got to knock that half a point.
Yeah. He's got to earn my respect, you know.
So what do you want to see from him then in the next year to 2 years in terms of his development and his growth as a player?
I mean, you think before he went to South Carolina, you know, he didn't have much. His serve wasn't a weapon. And you look at the difference to him and Ward today. Ward's, he got more 3 points of his serve in the more crucial moments. That's something Jubby can improve on. But, you know, for me, the way Jubby just embraced the occasion and was brave, took the ball on, hit a load of winners, you know, that's what I like. And I wanted to keep playing his game and just grow. You know, he's got, like, hopefully Nottingham and hopefully Ilkley the week after to just build on this and... You know, people will definitely take notice of this result and they'll have seen the way he played and hopefully they'll be a bit scared of him and see his name in the draw.
What's he like off court then? You know, what's your relationship like with him as well? Because he is just a young kid. You know, when I was 19, I didn't want cameras on me because I wouldn't have got very far.
Yeah, he's a bit dense, but you know, like I think he did text me. He was trying to come. He was back up in Hull last week, just for a day, and was like, oh, "I'm booking my trains. Do I get two tickets or one?" I was like, "I don't know. Whatever's cheapest. Don't ask me stupid questions like that." But then on the other hand, he's much better at this type of thing than I am. I don't like talking on camera. This is easier because no one's pointing a camera at me. But you know, it's definitely he's quite mature for his age. But you know, I think that comes from his circumstances and stuff.
Can you just go into a little bit of his circumstances as well, in terms of what you've seen and the challenges that he's faced and how he's overcome them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different to, I suppose, a lot of kids. Well, I suppose if you ask a lot of the pro players here what their background is, it'll be, you know, mum and dad drove them to plenty of tournaments, and you know, be a little bit more privileged than what Chubby was used to. But I just think that's kind of why he's special, and why I think he's going to do more. He's going to do more than just this. You know, he's going to really kick on, because he's always wanted it. You know, and he's had a few less opportunities. You know, I used to drive him to tournaments, and he'd be like, "Well, we've got two tournaments this month, but you know, so and so will be going to four. You know, some rival from another county, because you know, mum and dad'll drive him all over the place for it, and you know, that's why he's never had as many opportunities. So the ones he's had to really grab him by the horns once he has had.
You probably can't say it, but we can. But then I guess guys like you are so important in his life, because if you're not driving him there, no one's driving him there.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. As long as, you know, he gets me some free gear, I'll be all right with that, you know. I don't just want this ridiculous player pass, though. I want something better than this, you know. A few pair of trainers would be all right, something like that. But yeah, you know, but that's why you do it. That's why you do the job, because hopefully you'll get to hang on somebody's coattails at the end of the day, and you know, get a free beer.
You have a very interesting, flippant attitude. I like it. I also like your trainers, actually.
Oh right, I had to go buy them for Sports Direct yesterday because I didn't have any man-made holes in.
Is that Yonex a freebie?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, these are a freebie as well. Nicked off Jubby.
Yeah. So it's already paying dividends.
Yeah, exactly.
See, you're already.
I'll get them on eBay.
This is only just started. There's a first tournament over here. God knows what you'd be dressed in by the end of Nottingham.
Yeah.
You're going to be coming in velvet suits and.
Hey, maybe in the winter, yeah. For the indoor season, I'll wear some nice velour.
Velour, yeah. That's so great. Okay, so finally, just like I say, what are your hopes for this summer? Is this just sort of like an introduction into this world, and do you have ambitions, or you just go, this is all just part of a learning process?
Just don't get spanked love and love and make an embarrassment of yourself, and that's what Jubby would say as well. He just wants to see where he's at, and you know, you can't look too much at results or anything like that. He just wants to, considering, you know, this time last week he hadn't played a grass court match for about 4 years as well. He's done pretty well today, and let's just build on that and go back and practice and see what he can do next week. You know, I don't want him to put too much pressure on himself, because he already does. I'd rather just let the other guy be under pressure, like, you know, Ward was today. You could see he was getting a bit rattled.
Yeah, well, he didn't know anything about Jubby, so yeah. It was a surprise for him, I think, and he was having to work it out on court. So it made a very interesting game of it.
Yeah, it was a good match, wasn't it? I enjoyed it. Yeah, just need to get up to Yorkshire, where there'll be some partisan crowd. If he gets this wild card at Ilkley, that's what we want. We want everyone turning out and getting on the beers and chanting for Jubby.
That'd be like a homecoming.
Yeah.
But so you think you'll be at Nottingham as well?
If I don't even think he's got a wild card yet. It all depends on who's going to play. I mean, it's potentially going to happen, but nothing gets confirmed. Like, we didn't know he was playing today until yesterday. So, you know, fingers crossed. If he plays, I'll be there, but it's a big if at the minute.
Okay, well, I'd just like to say thanks ever so much for giving us your time. I think we've learned a lot. And I'm really looking forward to learning more and seeing more of Jubby play, because I love the way he runs around the court. And
he's not your mate. He's Johnny's mate. He's not your mate. You can't call him Jubby.
Why not? It's become now part of the lexicon of tennis.
Yeah,
it's Jubby, isn't it?
Call him Paul.
Yeah,
there's no famous
you need
Paul,
to call
Paul.
Him Paul
or yeah. Mr. Jubb.
Mr. Jubb, but you don't know him yet.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Johnny, can I call him Jubby?
You have to ask the man himself. I mean, you know, he's his own man. Kerry, he's not actually, he's 50% mine.
Yeah. Kerry just thinks he's friends with everyone, that's the problem.
Well, I'm a friendly kind of guy. That's how we survive
in
this
world. I don't think he'll mind.
There you go. Thank you, Kerry. Right. Thank you very much, Johnny.
No
Absolute
worries.
Pleasure.
Right. Thanks very much. See you soon.
And that was it, our first day back on Dropshot. It's been a great day and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Really good to be back on the tennis trail with Gary again. When he turned up eventually, that is. The one thing I forgot was just how much waiting around there is as a journalist. You've got to be ready to go when it's time. I'm looking forward to tomorrow and catching up with the women's side of the tournament, although weather-wise the forecast isn't looking good. Until then, it's time for the finest homemade curry with my hosts and friends, Sue and Keith Mead, and then an early night. Need to be fresh for tomorrow? Dropshot is back. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.